Good morning.
Good morning.
Scripture readings today is from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 10, and also one from Romans. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness and in uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord, is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the drought. It is sending its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green in the years of drought. It is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart to give to all according to the fruit of their doings. Romans chapter 7, verses 18 to 25. For I know that the good does not dwell within me, that is, in my flesh. For the desire to do the good lies close at hand, but not the ability. For I do not do the good I want, but evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. But the evil I do not want is what I do. Now I do what I do not want. It is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched person that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray together. Merciful God, thank you for bringing us together this morning. We may not always know why we are here, or maybe our intentions are unclear, but we know that you have a purpose for each and every one of us, and there's a reason why we are here this morning. May your Spirit open our hearts and our minds so that we can receive what you have for each and every one of us personally. We pray that you will bless your message to us. And we do so in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, did you enjoy the Super Bowl last Sunday?
Yes.
How many of you were happy with the outcome?
Yes.
Some of you. Some of you are from Philly. You know, 126 million viewers tuned in for the Super Bowl last week. And some people watched it in a bar. Some attended a neighborhood Super Bowl party. Most probably were at home with a few friends or family and watching it in the living room. But one thing is there was plenty of food on hand, right? Because you can't watch a game without munchies, pizza, and popcorn, buffalo wings and nachos, and pigs in a blanket, a spinach artichoke dip, and meatballs, and cider. Is anybody hungry yet? And of course, chips. They are always chips. And the thing about munchies is that you find yourself eating them not because you're hungry, but because the last chip you had just didn't satisfy. And this phenomenon, by the way, is at the heart of a new understanding of our unhealthy eating habits. The hypothesis is called the Dorito theory, and it's named after Doritos, which is the nation's most successful snack, if you didn't know that. And the theory attempts to explain why we fall into these toxic patterns in life. Whether we're talking about food or relationships or habits. So what happens is when you're consuming a bag of Doritos, now if you've never done that, you lie, okay? So you reach for chip after chip, because you're only enjoying the moment in which you taste the unhealthy snack. And not actually because your body is being nourished or satisfied by the act of eating them. So it's really a modern Doritos version of the dilemma Paul wrote about and what we just read in Romans 7, which goes roughly like this. For I find to be a law, I find it to be a law that when I want to do good, a bowl of chips and guac lies at hand. For I delight in the idea of healthy eating as an inner principle, but I see that my taste buds are at war with my healthy ideals. And this battle makes me captive to my chip cravings, and it's driving me crazy. I'm such a goofball. How can I ever escape from the clutches of my cravings? It's going to be the death of me. So in today's reading, the prophet Jeremiah puts it this way. He says, the heart is devious above all else. It's perverse. Who can understand it? He says, the heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful. It's a puzzle that no one can figure out. So how do we explain it? Well, one way of explaining it is the Dorito theory, okay? So let's take a closer look at what we can learn about the deceptive heart. And the first thing we need to ask is, what is meant by heart? We're not talking about the physical organ that does more physical work than any other muscle in the body, that pumps about 2,000 gallons of blood per day and beats more than 2.5 billion times in a 70-year lifetime. The Bible describes the heart as the center or seat of emotions and desires. It's where feelings such as love and joy and sorrow and anger live. But it's also the nexus of all of our thinking and our will. Because Scripture views the heart as the center of our thoughts, our intentions, our will. It's where I make decisions and form intentions. And so when it says the heart is deceitful, it means even my reasoning and decisions can be flawed and self-serving. But the Bible considers the heart to be even more. It is the moral and spiritual core of a person. It's where my true character and motivations lie. Jesus seems to argue that both good and evil can flow from this spiritual source. And in his so-called Sermon on the Plain, he says, good people do good things because of the good in their hearts, but bad people do bad things because of the evil in their hearts. Your words show what is in your heart. So that's what the Bible means by heart. The heart is the center of our being. It includes our emotions, our thinking, our will. It's a moral compass. It's our spiritual core. So the question is the heart deceptive? Because unlike Jesus, who suggests that good might come from the heart, Jeremiah believes that the heart is inherently flawed. He believes it's prone to sin. And he says it's a source of moral and spiritual corruption. I think maybe he has a point. Because when you look at it, the delusional nature of the heart can manifest itself in a variety of forms. And I want to give you some examples. For example, the delusion might be self-deception. Our emotions and thought processes can deceive us by making us believe that, well, our desires and actions are justified when they are clearly not to any objective outward observer, and certainly not to God. So we can rationalize wrong behavior, convince ourselves that we are doing good when we're not, and overlook our own faults, but it doesn't pass the smell test. Say hi for me. So we can also see the devious nature of the heart and how susceptible we are to sin. In our reading from Romans, we see that Paul says, you know, doing what is wrong is easier than doing what is right. It seems that our heart is naturally inclined towards selfishness, towards sin. It's easy for temptation to influence us. We have a kind of moral clumsiness. It somehow seems easy for our moral judgments to be compromised. So we can easily stray from the straight and the narrow. And to close out his study of the devious nature of the heart, Jeremiah complains and he says that the heart is so devious that it defies explanation. He says, who can understand it? Who can figure out this puzzle called the heart? Just like the Apostle Paul, he seems to throw up his hands in despair and say, I'm at a total loss. I don't get it. What's going on? He's stumped by the complexity and inscrutability of the human heart. I don't know. It rings true, doesn't it? Because often we simply don't understand why we do the stupid things we do. We don't understand why we reach again for another Dorito. We're kind of stymied. Okay, so where are we? So Jeremiah warns us and says, listen, our hearts are devious. Which makes us wonder, well, what is it that our emotions and thinking and will actually want? How do they work in concert? What is the nature of the deviousness? It's like the irresistible pull of the Dorito. Our hearts can deceive us into thinking that we need more and more of something. Our heart may say to us, you need more material possessions to be truly happy. Or you need more success and then you will be happy. Or you need more approval or pleasure to be truly happy. So what happens? We are deceived into thinking that is true. And so we relentlessly pursue these desires. And we often do it at the expense of our spiritual health and our relationship with God. So it is really a craving for more So just as one chip leads to the desire for another, our hearts often crave more of what is totally bad for us. If it's true that we are what we eat, it's true spiritually as well. If we live on spiritual junk food, we're going to be paying for it with a faith that's maybe flabby and discernment that's devious. When we're trying to find fulfillment in temporary pleasures, it's really a bad play, because good spiritual health comes from strong faith practice. The thing about snack food is that it may satisfy us temporarily, right? But like a sugar rush, bad food doesn't provide lasting nourishment. So it's a false satisfaction. And in the same way, the things we often think are important in life, things like money and power and status, those things really have little nutritional value, because what they do is offering temporary satisfaction, but they leave our souls empty and our souls longing for more. I don't know, have you noticed how easy it is for us to lose control? You can sit, right, for 30 minutes with a bowl of Doritos on the tray table and not eat a single one. Not one. And then you do. And once you take that first chip, it's all over. You can't eat just one. Okay? It's impossible. And within minutes, you're just eating one chip after the other. And there's just one more. Mirrors how easily our hearts can lead us astray. If we don't have the self-awareness, and if we don't rely on God and His strength, we can find ourselves trapped in cycles of sin and unfulfilling pursuits. So the question is there help? And that's what the Apostle Paul asks. He's in despair, and he says, "Wretched person that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death?" He says, "What a miserable person I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is doomed to die?" And Jeremiah also, after noting how devious the heart is, asks, "Who can understand it?" So he says he says, "I, the Lord, test the mind." That's what he hears God says. "I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings." So it is helpful for us to know that our emotions and our thoughts and our will tend to be self-serving and devious. And so Paul's answer is, he says, "I thank God for saving me through Jesus Christ our Lord." Thankfully, there are some checks and balances to safeguard our moral center and our spiritual core. So I want to talk just a little bit about that. Because what are they? I think self-examination is an important one. You know, a period of introspection. I think it's necessary, and we will agree that it's necessary for us to have a regular wellness check. I mean, it's good for your physical body, right? But it's also good for your spiritual body. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us." Augustine said, know yourself that you may know God. And Benjamin Franklin said, there are three things extremely hard: steel, a diamond, and to know oneself. But self-examination is a good practice. If we can regularly examine our heart and our motives, I think we will do ourselves a great service. That's why David wrote in the Bible, and he said, look deep into my heart, God, and find out everything I'm thinking. Don't let me follow evil ways, but lead me in the way that time has proven true. So there are some spiritual disciplines, and it's helpful to establish, I believe, some of them to strengthen your inner life. Things like reading the Bible every day, praying, meditation, devotional reading. We had an interesting workshop last Saturday on how there are diverse ways to connect with God. Praying with your body, mind mapping, crafting, while you're walking or exercising. If we immerse ourselves in prayer and the study of Scripture, we will find it easier to identify those moments when our heart is not being honest with us. It helps us discern truth from deception. Another one is accountability. You can also surround yourself with a community of believers who can offer you support, who can encourage you, who can somehow hold you accountable. Share your struggles and seek guidance from those who are walking faithfully with the Lord. Treasure your connection with the body of Christ. And don't neglect the fellowship of believers that the church family offers you. So next time you see a pack of chips, let it remind you of the Dorito theory, okay? That our hearts are really deceitful. That we all need God's guidance in our lives. And just as we might struggle to stop at one Dorito, we struggle to find satisfaction and direction without the benefit of good spiritual disciplines. As we approach the season of Lent, let us remember Jeremiah's warning, Jeremiah's lament, and let's turn our hearts towards God. Let's find contentment with what we have while seeking to improve upon who we are. Let's not be afraid to be accountable and disciplined. Let's not fear self-examination. Getting a wellness check is a good thing. We might be surprised, though, at what Dr. God finds and tells us. But like Paul, now let's pray. Thank you, God, for saving us through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that when God looks at our x-rays and blood work through the love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, instead of hearing, you need to lay off the chips, the divine physician will give us a good bill of health and send us out into the world to be agents of change and blessing to others. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, for us to be changed needs honesty. It needs an honest look inward. And sometimes what your Spirit will show us is it's not that good looking. Thank you for your love and your grace, and that you see us through the eyes of Jesus. May that encourage us. May that grace you show us time after time enable us to see us for who we are, to invite your Spirit to lead us into becoming more who you want us to be. I pray for your blessing upon everyone here, and that you will walk with us on this road to becoming more like your Son, Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.